Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
BSBOT, some number. I'm here with Gregory. After last week we did this show and the Rangers beat the Flyers 9-0. This week we did the show, the Rangers beat the Flyers again 8-3. A tremendous performance both weeks. I think we slandered the shit out of AB last week on this podcast. Some people, I'm sure, enjoyed that. Some people did not. Mostly Alain Vigneault supporters or people who do not like foul language. And I understand that. This time around, it's kind of weird because... And I know we'll get all into the nooks and crannies of this, but the Rangers absolutely dominated. Came out, looked tremendous, scored, what was it, 6 goals on like 13 shots, something ridiculous. Carter Hart looks absolutely fried. The defense is just not working for AV, but yet I still felt nervous, and I saw you tweet about this too, you're the Mets syndrome. Like, I still felt nervous a lot of the game from the second half of the second period all the way pretty much to the last like 10 minutes. The Flyers looked like they came alive. The Rangers played well, but it did seem like, I don't think they went into turtle mode. Obviously they scored 2 more goals. Yes.
Ryan.
Yes.
I'm cutting you off.
Okay. Go ahead.
Shut the fuck up.
Okay. Why?
Say it with me.
Why?
Alain Vigneault.
Okay.
Is a fraud.
He's a fraud. That's
he's
true.
A fraud. Listen, everything you're saying, valid, blah, blah, blah. Rangers, when it got to 6-2, we both got nervous, blah, blah, blah. It felt like the secondary, even when it was 7-3, that the Rangers were going to do something stupid and possibly lose this game, blah, blah, blah. All those things can be true. All those things can be true.
And they are true.
But we're about 2 minutes into this podcast, and I'm embarrassed. Embarrassed. Bamboozled. Hoodwinked. Shame.
Yeah. All right.
Shunned.
Let's get fired. Here we
disappointed.
Go. Yep.
That we're not talking about how fucking terrible of a coach Alain Vigneault is and how this shit was so predictable. So predictable that had we said it on the podcast, people would have said, you guys are just being ridiculous. There's no way that would actually happen. But in fact, mind you, in fact, it has happened twice in a row. It was a 15-0 run by the New York Rangers at the start of this game.
First time in Flyers history that's ever happened, in case you're wondering.
There were 15 minutes left in the second period, and Mika Zibanejad himself said at the end of the second period, like, yeah, we stopped playing because it was 6-0, and this is boring, and we don't want to be doing this shit anymore because the game's over. And that's why it became a game again, because the Rangers literally turned themselves off. Why'd they turn themselves off, Ryan? Because Alain Vigneault's Philadelphia Flyers had given up 15 consecutive goals to the New York Rangers. Now, Steve Valiquette, big friend of the show.
Big friend of the show and also absolute GOAT. I know we're slandering AB here, and I know exactly what you're going to say, and I'll let you say it.
Yeah.
But Steve Valiquette has just been tremendous the entire year this year.
Incredible. Incredible. And if you haven't read Greg Wyshynski's article from ESPN where he asks Valiquette about the struggles of Carter Hart before tonight's hockey game, can't recommend it enough. Steve Valiquette explains hockey in a way where – two dummies like you and I can actually understand the intricacies of a very complicated sport.
Yes.
Steve Valiquette is one of the best broadcasters of the NHL. And if ESPN was smart, they would gobble him up and sign him to a long-term contract.
Oh, I think MSG matches no matter what happens.
I don't know if they do, Ryan. Don't know if they do, but that's neither here nor there.
You know, that's a good problem for Steve to have.
Steve provides an entry point for the simple-minded like us to understand this super complicated game. He makes the super complex sound super simple. And I can't stress enough how valuable and just utterly important having someone like that is. Like, we all make fun of Pierre Maguire and how much he gobbles
corn dogs.
Corn dogs for all these people.
Yep.
There are so many smart people that cover hockey, and they do so in interesting ways in their own right. But I have seen nobody better than Steve Valiquette when it comes to making the game and the sport simple for a casual fan while not dumbing down the talk to people that are diehards.
Don't think it's close.
He checks both boxes at the exact same time. But when Steve Valiquette says, basically steals a line from the fucking podcast about how Henrik Lundqvist got Alain Vigneault another job. I got to tell you, I stand that man no matter what, but it went to another level.
It was a standing ovation moment. Like, I kind of got up and I just started clapping. And I was like, wow, I'm going to keep clapping now for another minute because, you know, it feels like Steve has been listening to you, Gregory, specifically you. You know, I've come on the bandwagon later, even though I've been on the bandwagon for a long time at this point. You've preached this from the mountaintops for many years. Alain Vigneault has just rides hot goaltending, and that is it. That has always been his MO, and when any other adversity comes his way, that it just he just can't handle it. What I'm upset about is Buchnevich didn't go directly to him and just look at him in the eyes for 3 minutes straight. Because if I'm Buchnevich, when I score two goals that way, I mean, I wish he got a Hattie, I really did. But Buchnevich has been filthy against Alain Vigneault, and Greg, let's get serious for a moment, and I know this is this is crazy.
What? Get serious? No, I'm not going
to
do that.
No, no, we don't need to get serious, but I do want to ask a serious question, and I said it on tonight. Like, if the Rangers do this again on Saturday, can Alain Vigneault realistically keep his job? And I know that sounds crazy to say, because there's 3 years left of $15 million total on his contract.
Yeah, ridiculous contract for a coach that has accomplished nothing in his NHL career, by the way. He's chalked up. I've said this before. Alain Vigneault is nothing more than George Karl. He is the George Karl of the NHL. George Karl has an insane amount of wins. Yeah, I think he's like top five in the NBA. And he's had a couple good teams that he should have done more with. I think specifically of those Sean Kemp, Gary Payton, Seattle Supersonic teams in the mid-90s. George Karl, all he did was rack up wins. Never accomplished a damn thing in his career. Alain Vigneault, all he does is rack up wins. Has never accomplished a damn thing in his NHL career. You said you don't get why Booch doesn't just rub it in AV's face every time he scores. Ryan, I got to tell you, I think the most insulting thing you can do to another human being is remind them how little impact they have on your life by just straight up, not even ignoring them, refusing to acknowledge their existence. I think that is so much crueler than getting in someone's face.
Well, you make a good point there because that's exactly what Alain Vigneault did to Buchnevich, was ignore him entirely.
Yeah, and Buch is like, hey, by the way, man, I'm really good now. I'm probably going to get $6+ million a year annually, and someone's going to pay me to be a top six winger in this league for the next 8 years. No thanks to you, you glorious piece of shit. Kiss my ass. I'm going to keep doing what I do. And I didn't make any innuendos there. I just said to smooch a certain body part.
Right. Fine. I'm going to mute
keeping,
these.
I'm keeping my own notes this week.
Yeah. Sack, mute
but
that.
Yeah, it's I don't know. I understand what you're saying. And I understand that I wouldn't have the intestinal fortitude to ignore a human being. I feel like that human being has slighted me. That's not how I'm wired. Mm-hmm. But I will acknowledge that I do think it's 2,000 times more cruel to ignore someone's existence and say you don't know who they are than it is to get in their face and say I've proved you wrong.
Well, let's go back to the actual question here, which is if the Rangers score 6-0 again, we could have
Alain Vigneault could yeah, Alain
could
Vigneault
he actually fired? Keep his job legitimately?
Boy, I don't know. There are two ways you want this question to be answered. There's the way you and I would answer it, right? Which is
no,
not of the conventional NHL mindset. Alain Vigneault should have – we wouldn't have hired him. But if you take that out of the equation –
it feels really good, and I don't want to cut you off here, but I have to. Chris Knobloch, like being the former coach in Philly, coming back and doing this directly to Alain Vigneault when – you know, I've been impressed by Knobloch. I know it's all Quinn's decisions. I totally get it. But I thought he's handled this situation, what he's thrown into, extremely well.
I want to get back to Vigneault. Okay. I want to spend the next 35 minutes on Vigneault, but I got to ask you first.
Yes.
What has Chris Knobloch done to impress you? Just by existing? Like, he's the – if you're into the minimalist style here, I guess he's perfect, right? Because I can't name one thing Chris Knobloch has done. He kind of shows up, says, good job, everybody, tells people when to get on the ice, tells people when to get off the ice, goes home and says, you know, David Quinn had a good game plan tonight.
Yeah.
Like, there isn't one single thing that I can pinpoint that says that's what Chris Knobloch has done. Like,
I will do that.
The thing he's done best, I guess, is by simply not being David Quinn. But at the same time, he's the one saying, like, I'm literally just doing what Quinn tells me to do. And I think the one thing people like to point out and uses their shining example on Twitter.
Sure.
Is that Knobloch isn't juggling the lines.
I'm not going to say that, Quinn. In case you were wondering.
But I will say, like, that is a very consistent criticism that you and I have had of Quinn.
We have.
And that I think is a fair criticism of Quinn. I'm not going to sit here and defend juggling of lines. You and I have talked about how we feel chemistry is as important as anything else when it comes to constructing a lineup. But I don't think it's because Chris Knobloch doesn't want to juggle the lines. I think he's terrified of juggling the lines because it's not what David Quinn – like, David Quinn didn't specifically tell him to juggle the lines, so Chris Knobloch hasn't done it. Like, if David Quinn isn't here to say or not say something to Chris Knobloch, and that's what makes Chris Knobloch the perfect coach, then fine. Put David Quinn somewhere else. Have David Quinn create the game plan for the game, and then just let Chris Knobloch execute it to a T without ever anyone telling him anything else. Like, if that's your perfect dream, fine, go for it. I'm all for it. But I can't name one thing Chris Knobloch has definitely done to be like, yeah, no, this guy, fucking genius.
Let's get this super clear. I do not think he's a genius, nor do I think they should fire David Quinn for him. I appreciate what he's done in this situation he's been giving. He's obviously been tremendously respectful to David Quinn, pretty much crediting every single breath he takes to David Quinn at this point in time. The one thing I could point out is I believe his demeanor in the post-game press conferences and on the bench has been a positive. Even Mika Zibanejad said tonight, you know, they're both different personalities. He's a different personality than Quinn. That's totally fine. I don't think he's like knocking down the door to be like, I'm the next coach or anything, but I've been a fan of his in the situation he's been given, which is, hey, coach this NHL team you don't really know, with the exception of Keith at this point in time when you're coming up and maybe one or two other players, and make the most of it. And he has, in a situation against the Lane Vigneault and other teams, like, they've done really well under his watch. I know it's all Quinn's decisions. I gotta give the guy some credit. I think he's been pretty good. That's all.
I will say again, we're spending too much time on this because our mission tonight is
the Lane Vigneault
to get criticized the Lane Vigneault. But my last point is, you take away the 17-3 drubbing the New York Rangers have put on the Philadelphia Flyers. The three other games that Chris Knobloch has coached have been extremely New York Ranger games. A game against the Buffalo Sabres that was more stressful than it should have been.
Yeah, and two games against the Caps.
Washington Capitals, one of which the Rangers only scored once, and the other the Rangers had to score late in order to secure the win. So it's not like the Rangers have been a different team under Chris Knobloch. It's just that it's hard to say that while also acknowledging the Rangers have put 17 goals in two games against the Philadelphia Flyers, which brings us back
so
to Alain Vigneault and the question you originally asked.
Mm-hmm.
Should he be fired?
Yes.
You and I would say yes, absolutely. These are two indefensible losses against an inferior team. We are big New York Rangers hype boys. That's why we do this podcast.
Yep.
We are fans first, podcast professionals second, insiders third. That's the our picking order right there. As a fan, as someone that watches the New York Rangers on a nightly basis, this team should not be not just head and shoulders better than the Philadelphia Flyers, but it feels like the Rangers are playing a high school hockey team when they play the Philadelphia Flyers. They are not just winning these games, but fucking embarrassing them to a point where you gotta ask, are the Flyers playing a different sport? Are they trying a different game while the Rangers are playing hockey? I don't know. I can't say. I know Alain Vigneault is definitely the kind of guy that would try some curling techniques while trying to play hockey. An idiot. But that's neither here nor there. We would fire Alain Vigneault. Would the Philadelphia Flyers? Do we think the Flyers believe Vigneault is the problem? Is the real question you should be asking. And I don't think we have any evidence to say that they do. I think they point to their defense. They apparently, Matt Niskanen is the most important defensive player since Nicholas Lidstrom, because he's the guy that's not there anymore. The Flyers didn't replace him, and the defense has gone to shit. Not just the defense, though. The prized pupil, Carter Hart, the kid who was supposed to be the next coming of Jesus Christ on skates in goal, some guy that would make both Marc-Andre Fleury and Matt Murray cry beneath his excellence is as much as a fraud as Alain Vigneault. Steve Valiquette had some really smart things to say, said that Hart's playing without any confidence. You can see it clearly in his game. All these things that Valiquette says are true. I got to ask the question of why he's not playing with confidence and who put him in a position to be playing without confidence. Are you telling me that's possibly on the head coach because he's not putting himself in positions to be successful. He's not trying to do different things to get that back out of Carter Hart's game. Yeah, the player should be responsible to a certain extent when they're lacking confidence, but it's got to be on the coach to put him in a position to succeed. And it's very clear that Alain Vigneault is not just not doing that, but he's almost setting Hart up to fail. The fact that Carter Hart even started the second period in goal against the Rangers tonight when they were already down 3-0, and it looked like Carter Hart had no idea what a puck even looked like, let alone how to stop it, that's on the coach. He didn't have it. Stop, like, you're breaking your own player. And then by breaking your own player, you're putting the rest of your team in a position to fail. We see this. We are not the smartest human beings in the world. We are just two idiots with microphones, Ryan.
The fact.
And we podcast twice a week.
Yep.
We barely want to podcast twice a week, but we do it because it's in our contract. Shout out to The Athletic.
Jesus. But Carter, it's so over, like, bro. It's a good run, dude.
It was fun. It was fun. Yeah. But, like, what time again, is, we're simple-minded 34. Folk. Simple-minded folk. We are not that smart. We see this. It's clear as day to us. If we see it, you can't tell me the guy making $5 million a year to decide who plays in goal and who doesn't isn't seeing it. I have no reason to believe the Flyers think Vigneault is the problem. I think they think the problem is somewhere else. But the disease sprouts from somewhere. It doesn't just start on its own. It has to be ingested somewhere else first. And Alain Vigneault is the disease. I hope the Flyers never realize that, because it's going to make my life easier as a Ranger fan for the next 3 years, because I know they're not a threat. As long as he's there, they're going to be fine in the regular season, most seasons, but they're not a threat. They're just there to exist, collect their meaningless W's, and do nothing with them. I hope he stays forever. I hope they fucking extend him.
Like the Rangers did?
I don't know. To answer your question, I would fire him. Yep. I would have never hired him. I don't think the Flyers see a problem, which is just chef's kiss to me, dude.
Let's take a quick break, and then we'll come back and break down some Ranger performances. Transition.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy!
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds!
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
We're back. All right, listen. I think we can make this declaration at this point in time. Mika Zibanejad all the way back?
Against the Flyers, yeah.
Yeah, I would say all the way back against the Flyers.
The moment to me that signaled him coming back was the game ender against the Capitals, where he bullied a dude off the puck and top shelved it.
Unbelievable shit. That was...
That to me was prime Mika. Like this stuff, again, you put Mika Zibanejad, a player with Mika Zibanejad's talent up against a mini mites team, and this is what I expect.
Isn't that so funny that we're like, yeah, you know what, Mika? Like, it's against the Flyers, so two natural hat tricks, like, kind of whatever.
12 points in two games. Like, I think you're back when you scored 12
points. That's legitimate Gretzky stuff. Like, that's not a joke. That's the legit.
Well, Gretzky never did it. Mika Zibanejad is the only player in NHL history to have back-to-back 6-point games against the same opponent.
I think 5-point games, though, what Gretzky has done it 7 times. So there you go. Yeah, well, I read that tonight.
Gretzky was playing a different game as well. Hey. He was playing with a turbo boost, and everyone else had freaking
unbelievable. He makes no
butter
sense.
For skates.
But Mika Zibanejad seems all the way back for me. The rest of the team looks like it's all clicking, especially the past couple games. Look, like we can't take that much away against the Sabres, right? It's hard to come on this podcast these last two games and have like legitimate takeaways because the Sabres are terrible and they might not win another game this season. And that's not
the
a
Rangers
joke.
The Rangers haven't played an NHL team this week. It's hard for us to do this podcast when the Rangers have played two bums.
I learned a lot when they played the Capitals. The Capitals are a good team. The Rangers showed up without Igor Shesterkin and played hard. And yeah, sometimes Ovechkin's going to beat you no matter what age he is. That happens. I learned a lot about that team and what they can do in tough series against good teams, against the Capitals. Then they played the Sabres and a team they absolutely dominated in the Flyers again. And I've learned nothing. Here's what I've learned. I'll write down my notes. Mika back. I'm pretty sure Adam Fox deserves a Norris Trophy. Artemi Panarin very good. And people are going to complain the kids didn't score more. That's all I have. I don't have anything else.
Yeah, but then the kids scored. So now you're going to say, well, they can only score when they're already scored seven goals.
Oh, Kaapo Kakko, he didn't complain with a blowout. Like, dude, what are you talking about? Kaapo's been sick recently. What is happening?
Islander fans are sick in the head. I don't.
You know what bothers me about that, Greg? We've been talk to yourself.
I feel like I do it every day.
We have been so nice to Islander fans over the past 2 years. We really have. All we do is come out here and say Barry Trotz is incredible.
Amazing. Best coach in the NHL. I'll say it every day.
Yep, sure. Barzal is a guy we wanted to give up 4 first round picks for. We believe he's truly amazing.
Yeah, like you said, again, everybody wants to talk about Jack Eichel. All the Rangers had to do, you wanted a star center while keeping Lundqvist, Miller, Fox, Lafreniere, Kakko, Buchnevich, Kravtsov, even Strom. You wanted all those pieces? All you had to do was fucking sign Barzal. Could have had all those pieces. But yeah, exactly. Like we blow smoke up Barzal's ass to your point.
We say a lot of nice things about the Islanders all the time, and Islander fans can only just sit around and be like, "Oh, Kaapo Kakko, he's not scoring while the Rangers are up 9-0." It's like, okay, what are we doing here?
Yeah, I don't understand. As a Met fan, I grew up in a town in suburban Connecticut that was probably, I'd probably say 65% Yankee fan. Yeah. 30% Met fan, 5% Red Sox fan. Like if I had to put numbers to it,
sure.
More people than not were Yankee fans. Cause you also remember when we're kids, the Yankees won in 96.
Huge.
Then they won in 98, 99, 2000. They went to the series in 2001.
They beat the Mets,
They're back in the series in 2003. Yeah. There are a lot of reasons to be a Yankee fan. Meanwhile, the Mets, like our manager put on a fake mustache. That was pretty cool.
get to the point.
I get it. But even back then, I hated Yankee fans. But I wasn't sitting around being like, well, the Yankees are actually bad.
Yeah, they're
bad. No, that's not what I do.
Yeah, Bernie Williams actually isn't good. He hasn't hit in 10 games. Okay, guys? What?
Derek Jeter didn't deserve – it's not the fact that Derek Jeter doesn't deserve those gold gloves, but it's still the fact that Derek Jeter is probably one of the 10 best shortstops to ever play the game. Now – the best shortstop to ever play in New York, the Yankees made play third base. I don't understand that.
That's true.
That'll never make any sense to me, but neither here nor there. Yeah, even back then, it's just like, as a Met fan, I just wanted to be left alone with my misery. I didn't want to give a shit about what the Yankees were doing. So it confuses me when the Islanders, things are going great in Brooklyn. They're the best team by record in the East. They're clearly headed for what feels like a deep playoff run. It's a team that, even with Barzal not having a Ryan Strome-esque season, if I do say so myself.
Hey, nice job.
Even with him taking not the Barzal leap that we all expected to take, they're the best fucking team in the East. Who gives a shit what the Rangers are doing if you're the best team in the East? Imagine me, Ryan, sitting here. Mets have the best record in baseball, and I'm just on this podcast being like, you know who's not great? The Nationals.
Yeah.
What's up with them?
Strasburg, come on. He doesn't even need that
Strasburg,
muscle.
What? Scherzer, you're going to be paying him until the Mets are still paying Bobby Bonilla for 5 more years. You happy about that? Like it's
insane.
You know, I don't know if what's crazy.
What's
and
that?
Then the Padres are paying Fernando Tatis for the next 14 years.
I'm
and the
aware
Mets
of this.
Will still have money to pay Bobby Bonilla at the end of that contract.
Yes.
Yeah, that's fun. That's fun. I don't know. Again, as a miserable fan of a team, if you're like, you're the best team in the East. The Rangers are quote-unquote flirting with the final playoff spot. We're not going to get there. I don't – unless we play the Flyers somehow 10 more times this season and then sprinkle in a couple Sabres games there as well, the Rangers still aren't going to make the playoffs. We're going to get our laps off. We're going to get our jokes.
It's going to be
fun. We're
going
to make fun of Alain Vigneault.
For sure.
It's going to be a fun ride, but I don't expect the Rangers to make the playoffs.
Yeah, you got
to
beat the Bruins. It's going to be tough, dude.
The Islanders are the team in first place, and their fans are like, yeah, well, Lafreniere and Kako.
I don't know. They got two first overall picks. They're bust, aren't they? Like, dude, enjoy the ride.
Bro, I have no idea what the fuck Noah Dobson is doing this year, if he's even doing anything. And you know what? I don't give a shit because it's not my team. I don't care. It's not my business. I hope he's doing great for you. If I see him in the playoffs, I'll let you know what
I think.
You know
what? I'm actually happy about Wallstrom too. I like Wallstrom. I wish he was a Ranger sometimes. There you go. Congratulations.
I heard he scored a goal tonight. Cool. Good for him. I have no idea how many points he has this season. I also don't give a shit. My mind doesn't work that way. I only make fun of Alain Vigneault when he's put right in front of me. And then I make fun of him mercilessly. Every time we play the Islanders, I feel like my tweets are always like, oh, look at that. Matt Barzal, really fucking good. Wonder what it would have cost to get him. Oh, you're saying I could have had him for 4 first-round draft picks and nothing else? That's interesting. Like, I don't even – Lou Lamoriello is a dinosaur.
Yep.
And probably shouldn't be running a hockey team anymore.
Almost certainly.
Still, Islanders pretty good. You know why? Because Barry Trotz is the best fucking coach in the league. We say that every week. I can't. I wish I could shit on the Islanders. They're in first place. They have the best coach. They have one of the best players. They don't have a hole. Like, yes, they've overpaid players they shouldn't have paid. J.G. Pageot should not be making as much money as he's making. But it is what it is, man. They're really fucking good. Like, I'm not going to pay attention.
Yep.
So when the Rangers are going off and Islander fans are like, yeah, well, the kids aren't doing it. Yeah, well, you're on MSG3. Like, go watch your game. I'm sorry that you have a hard time finding your station. It's hard enough to find the Rangers.
I have to bleep out so many giant F-bombs tonight.
They're just F-bombs. Who cares about them? Do you really bleep them out?
I don't. Sometimes I do. I think I bleeped like one or two out in the past like couple weeks, but almost never.
It's just the F-word. It's not even an F-word. It's it's a fine word.
It's fine.
They say it in movies.
It's fine. All right. Final closing thoughts on this OT.
Before your final closing thoughts, we can't go again. We just want to mention, because this is a new segment on Blue Shirts Breakaway and BSBOT.
Okay.
The Tampa Bay Lightning are cheating.
Oh, that's
true. What they're doing with Nikita Kucherov is cheating.
They're cheating. Everyone needs to know.
We need to talk about this all the time, which is why we're going to talk about it all the time.
They're cheating.
Every week, we're going to remind you that the Tampa Bay Lightning, we might even have to
I know we just did a 10-minute rant about how we don't care about the Islanders, but we have to tell you, Tampa Bay Lightning are cheating.
They're cheating. Props to the NHL for even having games today. I'm surprised that they don't just give up when it's NBA trade deadline day.
Yeah, that's true. Well, the trade deadline was a little lackluster today.
Yeah, it was a little lackluster, but still, like, we won't see an NHL equivalent of the Vucevic trade.
No, we will not. Jack Eichel's not going to trade till the summer, period, if he doesn't get a trade at all.
If he gets traded at all.
Yep, exactly.
But just to remind, the Tampa Bay Lightning are circumventing the salary cap. They're cheating.
They're cheating.
And for some reason, nobody's talking about it. We should also mention, I don't know if this was your last point, the 5 assists tonight are not why Adam Fox should be one of the top 3 contenders for the Norris Trophy.
It was my last point.
It should help Ryan, but
it brings it to the top 6.
It shouldn't take
6.
A 5 assist night for people to be like, wow, Adam Fox might actually be good.
Well, we talked about this all Monday. We did that was the whole podcast, but that brings him to the top 5 of points. I believe 1 point behind the Golden Boy Drew Doughty in points this season. So maybe we could talk about Adam Fox now. You know, maybe it's his turn. Who knows?
Yeah, but rename the award. If you want to just reward the defenseman who has the most points and call that the Norris Trophy.
Well, then Tony is super valuable. Someone should be trading for him if that's the case.
Like, you got a vote, buddy.
Yeah, you got a vote, and he like
you got a vote.
What was he?
Was
third in points last year, or something like that.
Yeah. If you want to just give the award to the defenseman who scores the most point, let's just call that the Norris Trophy. Stop calling it the best defenseman in the NHL because that's not what you're honoring. Like John Carlson, super super talented player, will always rack up the points because he's really good on the power play on a team that has a guy by the name of Alex Ovechkin.
Who sits in the left circle and is the most dangerous person there maybe in history.
Yeah, well, don't NHL coaches, they'll figure it out one day maybe.
I don't think so.
They'll figure it out the same time they figure out that the Tampa Bay Lightning are cheating.
Just put man on him. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah, you have an extra man. Like, play 4-on-3 and just – or play play 4-on-3 and have one dude just sitting on Ovechkin.
Yep, that's it.
Make someone else on the power play score. Make John Carlson score. If John Carlson starts scoring – because you've taken Alex Ovechkin away, then you can give him the Norris. I'll be totally fine with that. But yeah, just change the name of the award. Just call it, we're going to give this award. The Norris Trophy is now the trophy awarded to the defenseman who finishes the season with the with the most points.
Yep.
Fine. I got no argument. If that's how you want to vote, go for it. Go. But don't sit there and tell me that this award is for recognizes the best all-around defenseman in the NHL.
Because
that's not what the award is doing. And if the award is doing that, there is no argument for Adam Fox not to get at least a third place vote. You and I would give him first place votes. I think a lot of people should give him first place votes, but you can't sit there and tell me he deserves less than third. Why? Because the Rangers aren't going to make the playoffs. The only reason why the Rangers are even in playoff contention is because of Adam Fox, first and foremost. Game recognized game here, guys. Give him the damn Norris. Didn't drop an F-bomb that time, so you can't bleep that one out.
That's true. There you go. It's been a fun ride. Lane Vigneault sucks, and I hope everyone enjoys their good night, and that's it. If the Rangers do this again on Saturday, I really don't know. I don't even know how I'll handle it, to be honest with you. I expect
if the Rangers do it again on Saturday, the Athletic should just tell us not to podcast. Like, forget it.
They were going to tell us tomorrow.
the Monday show is going to be insufferable.
I don't know if we'll you know this, but we're getting an email tomorrow at 4 p.m. that says, it's over. It's going to be a Friday news dump.
What do you think? 4 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Central?
Eastern.
I just want to...
Yeah.
You think Eastern?
Yeah.
That's a really inconvenient time for me. That would be a bum move right there.
Yeah, I think that's exactly when it's going to happen. So Our Patreon launches next week. Very excited to go. Excited to have you guys back. All right, we love you guys. Bye.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.